Democrat of the day. This is just an absolute treat to have him in studio on Election Day. Secretary of State Steve Simon is kind enough to join us to talk about the primary election and how things are going in studio with us. Mr. Secretary, thank you very much for the time.
My pleasure to be here.
My pleasure to have you. My goodness, this is a get, and we don't get these that often. This is, wow, on Election Day.
This is great. Hey, the Western Burbs, that's my, you know, that's, I live in Hopkins, not too far away.
And you were out looking at some kind of, you know, kind of the, you know, in some polling places, just in the, what you do for a living on Election Day, you're surveying what's going on.
Right. I always, on primary and general election days, I go around to as many polling places as I can find. Typically the ones that are maybe trying out some new equipment or have some new innovation, just to check out how that's going. So today I was in Shakopee and here in Eden Prairie, and I was in Waconia. And so that's kind of a typical day on Election Day for the first part. Now, I have to be back, and will be back, of course, by 8 p.m. when the polls close, so that we can be at sort of Election Central. But before that, it's nice to get out and about and see how actual voters and actual election judges are doing.
Well, because it is that big. This is a process, and a big salute to all the election workers out there right now, all the people that are working at the polling places, all the judges. It is, it truly is, unfortunately, it's a thankless job, and they go out there, and they're early today. It's a long day for them. They do a fantastic job.
Oh, I always have said, whenever I meet election judges, past or present, I say thank you, thank you, thank you. It takes 30,000 election judges to put on an election in Minnesota. 30,000.
Wow.
That is a small army. And they're not doing it for their health, and they're not doing it to get rich. They're doing it because it's a service. We couldn't do this without them. It is a long day. You know, as you point out, the polls are open from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. That's 13 hours. But they don't just stay there 13 hours. They come in early, they stay late, sometimes really late. And so that is a long day for anyone of any age. So, you know, pat them on the back and give them a thanks when you see them, because they're doing it for the right reasons.
And we should also mention, and obviously after today, nothing you can do today, but I mean, if a person is interested in becoming an election judge, I imagine the Secretary of State's website has information on that.
Correct. So if you go to our website, and if you go to mnvotes.org, mnvotes, V-O-T-E-S.org, you can find all sorts of elections information, including, of course, how and where to become an election judge. Now, that's typically done at the city, sometimes the county level, but it'll have all the resources there for you.
And this is a 30K a person job we need to put on an election. We got, obviously, today's primary day, the election coming up here in November 6th, I believe it is, correct?
That's right.
That's right.
Yep.
So, obviously, if you'd like for more information on that, by all means, you're more than welcome to get that. Early voting, I'm you can tell I've got a lot of DFL activists that follow my account, because I knew exactly when early voting started in this primary process. It has been off the charts, correct?
Absolutely. So as of yesterday, we were at about 200% of an increase over 2016.
Wow.
In the number of absentee ballots that were submitted, which is incredible. And I think it's at least a couple things going on here. Number one is a process kind of thing. You know, we have had now for 5 years no excuses absentee voting, which is a clunky title. I prefer the title vote from home.
Yes.
So you don't need an excuse anymore to vote absentee. You don't need to be absent to vote absentee. That's where the name came from. You can do it just because you want to do it. It's no one's business anymore. And Minnesotans are absolutely flocking to this. Just to give your listeners some sense of proportion here. So before that law was passed, the typical percentage of voters who would vote absentee, back when you needed an explanation and excuse, was 8 or 9%. In 2016, it was almost 23% of Minnesotans voted before Election Day even started. I don't know what the number is going to be when the dust settles after today, but based on the supercharged early numbers, you know, this is more evidence that Minnesotans really like this. One other thing going on, and that's where you and your listeners come in, people are fired up to vote. Just are. Whether it's this method or that method, they really are. They want to make their voices heard, their power felt, and that is clearly part of what's going on here.
I read an interesting stat about Minnesota. We as a state have the most races contested, both Republican and Democrat, than any other primary state in the nation this year. That I didn't realize it, but you know, you do. You know, I mean, you have two Senate races. You have obviously the 8 House seats that are up for grabs. The governor's race, all the statewide races.
Right.
That this that, and considering both parties are involved, there are more contested races in Minnesota this primary season than any other state in the nation. I think that probably plays a bit of a role in it too.
I think so, and I think you're right. It's the volume. It's also the closeness of the contest. I mean, it's just like sports. Mm-hmm. People like to watch or attend games where they know it's going to be a nail-biter. They know it's going to be close and a competitive contest. That's happening now, too, in a number of races on both sides of the aisle.
Steve Simon, the Secretary of State, joining us in studio here talking about primary day, which is today. If you haven't voted, Steve, they can vote till 8 o'clock tonight, correct?
That's right. And even if you're in the facility by 8 o'clock, if you haven't technically voted by 8, if you're in line, basically, you can still vote. That's what the law is very clear about.
It's always good when we have a day like this to kind of, you know, voting for dummies sort of thing, you know, taking it back to the base beginning of this. I'm a voter. I want to vote in the primary. Doesn't matter, Democrat or Republican. Doesn't matter. The Secretary of State's website will help guide you through. It's a relatively easy process, correct?
Right. MNVotes.org. That's the website. And if you have any questions in particular about where to go, if you're saying, well, either I just moved here or I've never voted or whatever, MNVotes.org allows you to just go there, type in your address, and it'll tell you exactly where to go. There's also a feature called My Ballot where you type in your address and it'll tell you what is on your particular ballot, up and down the ballot from top to bottom. So those are nice features, even on game day, even on election day. And remember, in Minnesota, we have same-day voter registration. So even if you're not registered, no big deal. You just go in, register at the polling place, and vote at the polling place right afterwards.
This is a primary is different than a general election. You do have one side of in where I voted in Hopkins, I had the Hennepin County Sheriff. Which is there. That race was, I think, neither party.
Right.
Correct. But on the front page of your ballot, you got one side's Republican, one side's Democrat, correct?
That's right. And you can't cross the line. So you can't, as a voter, say, you know, I want to vote for a Democrat in the governor's race and a Republican in the attorney general's race. And in that primary, you can't cross that center line. So you got to pick a column, either the Democratic column or Republican column, for partisan offices. And then on the backside are, as you mentioned, the sheriff's race in Hennepin County, if that's where you live. But in other places, it might be a county commissioner or a sheriff, or it could be sheriff or something else. And on the backside, it's anyone can vote. But on the front side, yep, you can't go across that line.
And we should say, what happens if you do? What happens if your ballot?
If you do, and if you're voting in person today, the machine's going to pick that up. Mm. And you'll be notified, hey, wait a minute. This is a spoiled ballot, and you'll be given the opportunity, if you wish, to have that ballot destroyed and do it the right way the second time.
Okay. The primary races here, obviously, it's – do you consider this a bit of a test run in an election year? Because obviously it's a way for you to – if there is a polling staffing issue, if there's a equipment problem issue, it's a good way to go through it as on the primary day to prep you for the general election.
Exactly right. That's what I said at the three polling places that I just came from. It is, as you say, a dry run, a dress rehearsal, whatever you want to call it. That's the beauty of primaries. You can try stuff out and you can determine what the voter needs are, what the election judge needs are, and then you can make whatever changes, whatever modifications for election day in November. So it's a really useful kind of testing ground.
All right. Voting is a base right we have in this country. It's kind of one of those interesting elements that we in this country, we've taken it for granted for so many years. Now I think, because of, leadership that's out there, it's, people are more active and more interested. Generally, things don't go the way you like them to. You get more active. But the reality is every election, regardless of its, the off-year elections, the odd-year elections, the major presidential elections, all these are vitally important because these are the people that are running everything. It's our right as citizens of the United States and of Minnesota to participate and being able to choose who runs what we have here as a state, country, a county, a municipality, a school board, all that stuff.
Yeah, it's huge. Our vote is our voice. There's no question about that. And, let's just face it. People get elected to stuff, whatever the stuff is. It could be president of the United States. It could be a township board. It could be soil and water commissioner. The point is that what people do when they get elected or fail to do has downstream effects. It really, really affects us all. And our one way to chart or change the outcome is to exercise that right to vote. As one prominent elected official likes to say, particularly to young people, you may not be into politics, but politics is into you. And I think that's very important. There may be people who think, well, this voting thing, it's sort of disconnected from me. How is my life going to be any different if this candidate wins or that candidate wins? I hear that a lot. The fact is there are a lot of downstream effects based on who gets elected to stuff top to bottom. And that's worth noting.
you may not vote, but the people that do get elected are making decisions for you. So you can either be part of that decision or not part of that decision, but they're still going to make those decisions for you. So
exactly right.
I got a call here. Flo is in Minneapolis. Flo, welcome to the show. Secretary of State Steve Simon is with us right today.
Hi, Steve. I had a major problem at the polls this morning. I'm in 5-6 in Minneapolis, Hennepin County, of course, and I have been voting in primary and general election elections for years and haven't missed, and I'm on the Central Committee as well as I convened our DFL caucus in the very room in which we were voting. And when I showed up, thank God I had ID and confirmation, but they could not find my name on the voting rolls. And I have been voting in this ward and precinct for over 30 years, and I don't know if it was a problem when they went from the typed, you know, written list to online, but they could not find my name.
Now, Flo, really,
and I had to re-register in at the polls this morning in order to be able to vote.
Now, Flo, I do want to make sure we do verify. You did vote today, re-registered, right?
Oh, you bet.
Good.
And then I had a judge saying, "Oh, well, never mind the back."
Never mind
and
the back. Well,
I said, "Excuse me." I wrote both sides of the ballot.
Good for you.
And telling people, oh, it doesn't matter. You don't have to have to vote on the backside.
Flo,
suspicious about what's happening because we have hand-marked ballots. But it goes through an optical scanner.
Well, and Flo, I'm gonna. Well, before we get down to too many different issues, let's go back to the first issue here, because I want to just point out to everyone out there, we have a fail-safe system in place. Because even though her name, whatever the circumstance, computer misprinted it, an accident happened. When I went to vote today, they asked me McNeil, which is my real name, and they misspelt it. And they said, it's not here. I said, it's not here. And we went over it, and there it was. They did find it. Sometimes accidents happen, but in this case, even though that they couldn't find her as a registered voter, there was on-site registration.
Yes.
She was able to get that vote in.
Right. I say the one reform over the last half century that has really moved the needle on voter participation and access is just that we have same day or election day voter registration. So Flo was able to vote. Now, that being said, it's too bad that she encountered the problem she did. Let me tell you my own story from today in my own precinct when I went to vote. I said, Simon. They said, great, first name. And somebody knew me because of my position. And she said, I'm not finding you here. I'm not finding you here. Mm-hmm. And she had searched for Steve. But my name on the voting rolls is Stephen, S-T-E-P-H-E-N. And once we cleared that up, she said, oh, great, here you are, yes. So I don't know what happened in Flo's situation. Maybe it was something like that, maybe something else. I just don't know. That's a very rare occurrence, though.
I think it's the iTunes music because it's all by first name in there. And I really think that's how everything is. Go by last name. I don't know why. It's like, I don't mind. McCartney, Paul, done. I'm good. You know, I'm with that.
That's not a bad analogy, actually.
We'd also hear, I did not turn in my absentee ballot, and I was wondering if I can take it to the polling place and turn it in for a new ballot. Joe, this is an email that came in here.
Yeah, this is an email from Joe, one of our emails.
Joe emailed in. So he once again gets an absentee ballot, did not get it filled out. Is the option to go to a polling
yes.
place?
Yes. Yes. The answer, the simple, quick answer is yes. Joe, you may, wherever you are, you may go and vote in person in lieu of the absentee ballot. Yes, okay. Absolutely.
And they will take the absentee ballot, or do you?
Yes.
Do you need to bring the absentee ballot?
You know, you don't need to bring it with you, but it might be a good idea just in case to bring it with you. But no, as long as you have not voted absentee yet, whether you produce the absentee ballot or not, you can vote in person.
I'll tell you what we're going to do. I want to come back because I want to talk about one specific instance which has come to light with some current events, and I won't get into the specifics of that, but just what happens in a specific situation. And I also want to talk about ballot security and safety here, obviously a major issue for you. But we'll take a break. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Steve Simon, Secretary of State, in studio with us on a primary day. Get out there and vote today. It is important. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop.
Have you ever wondered what it was like to be an artist in the Soviet Union? I'm Vladimir von Surikov, director of the Museum of Russian Art, and I invite you to explore our exhibition Art in Conflict, running through September 1st. It juxtaposes Soviet socialist realist against nonconformist artists from the latter decades of the Cold War. This is a rare chance to see connections and conflicts inside the Soviet art world. For more information, visit tmora.org.
Hey, tune into the Norman Goldman Show, where justice is served live every weekday from 5 to 8 p.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Today on the show, there's a lot going on that does not involve Omarosa. While everybody else is talking about that silliness, we're staying focused on the important things like senior legal analyst time. Do join me for 3 live hours of the Norman Goldman Show every weeknight here from 5 to 8 on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, this is Matt from the Green Home Doctors. Did you know approximately 80% of our homes in our area are not sealed and insulated properly? A typical home has air leakage equivalent to that of a large open window. Green Home Doctors has treated thousands of homes with their special diagnostic equipment and can prescribe the appropriate remedy for your house. Stop air conditioning your whole neighborhood this summer. Call today and take advantage of rebates from Xcel Energy and CenterPoint Energy. Visit greenhomedr.com.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. Our weekly Native American talk radio show will discuss national and local Native American news and events. Local and national guests will help us keep current with Mother Earth, tribal, and Twin City issues. Native American issues are human issues. We invite all people to walk hand in hand with our struggles, victories, and achievements. Listen Saturdays at 2 p.m.
I am awake.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Democrat of the day, Steve Simon, Secretary of State, in studio with us. We've taken a few questions here. I want to get to Cheryl in Minneapolis. She's an election judge, and she has a question for the Secretary of State. Go ahead, Cheryl.
I don't have so much a question as a comment. As an election judge, we had several people come in who thought they were registered and weren't. And honestly, for the amount of time that it even takes to look up somebody's name, you could have re-registered somebody in 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. I mean, literally, it's that quick. And so, you know, it's not an imposition. It's easy to do if you have an ID and proof of residence. It's easy peasy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't know what this woman experienced at this morning. Flo, I think her name was. But
yeah.
I mean, I bet it took her 2 minutes to get re-registered.
Well, and you know what, Cheryl, and thanks, Cheryl. I appreciate the phone call. I think it's the shock of it, especially someone who's been voting at the same polling place for years and years. That's the last thing you're expecting to happen, and it's maybe not so much inconvenienced or the drama of it. It's just the shock of, wait a minute here, I'm not registered. I've always been registered. But that does happen. But that's why we have the system in place.
Right. And Cheryl, I know she's off now, but thank you very much for the call. And thank you for your service as an election judge. I couldn't agree more. I mean, it's true. It's very easy to get registered in Minnesota. And that is the ultimate backstop. I mean, I just have to stress that over and over again. If there's a problem in the polling place, hey, for over 40 years, we have had same-day voter registration. That is such a saving grace in these situations. And to re-register is nothing. It's really simple. It's really easy. Minnesota law is very forgiving and accommodating when it comes to how to register. You basically have to show two things. You are who you say you are, and you live where you say you live. And there's a wide array of IDs and other things you can use to do that. It can be a utility bill. It can be a neighbor vouching for you. It can be a bunch of things. So it's quite easy for the voter. But that is the ultimate backstop.
Two other issues I want to get into. First of all, I'm going to leave. We're not going to get into any of the current news from the last few days here. But there has been a question that has popped up. All right. Say you have a primary. You have a primary winner for a political party. And then within a few days after that primary, the winner of the primary resigns and decides they're not going to run for the race. What are the options for the political party at that point?
So, yes, that has come in a number of different contexts, not just this year, but in other years. And the Minnesota law is clear on this point. And it's tougher than most people imagine it is. So after a primary, if someone wins the primary, there's only between the day after the primary and 79 days before the election, between that period, there are only three ways in which someone who has won his or her party's nomination can be removed from the ballot. Number one, the person dies. Number two, the person has a severe medical or other issue that would prevent them from carrying out the duties of the job, as attested to by two different doctors. So you have basically a letter from two different doctors saying that. And number three is they are deemed by a court to be ineligible. Residency is the most common of those. Other than that, it is not enough for someone just to say, well, I'm resigning. I'm ending my campaign. That's too bad. They can say that. They're still on the ballot. So that's the issue. Once someone wins a primary, it is really, really hard to get them off the ballot. And I won't do it unless you want me to. I can go into the history of why the law was written that way. It was recently sort of tweaked in the past few years. But that's the law right now.
Well, and we, without getting into the details of it, it would seem to me the reason why that law exists is to prevent a backrooms candidate. You know, that you basically have the primary person, and you know, and just a straw, you know, candidate that's out there that's not really the candidate. The primary happens, they win, and then they pull back, and it's like, okay, we're going to put, you know, Bob's son's going to actually be the candidate. That would seem like the most common reason.
That is one of the common reasons historically. That's true. And there's a push-pull between should it be easy, should it not be easy, and the legislature has concluded it should not be easy to do that. There are a number of reasons for that. But so that's the situation. If, however, one of those three conditions were to arise, death, severe disability or imminent death, and ineligibility, as in the case of someone who is deemed not to be a resident, let's say. If that happens, then the political party who that candidate belonged to would then convene and choose another nominee, basically. Mm. So there would not be a mini special primary or anything like that. The party would just have the authority to name someone.
A major story nationwide, obviously, is the security of our election system here. Russians, have they tried to get into the Minnesota system?
Well, in 2016, we were one of the 21 states targeted by the Russian government. And that's sobering. The good news is we passed the test. We kept them out. Nothing bad happened. There wasn't even really an attempt to hack us, but we were targeted for an attack by the Russian government. Since then, we've done a lot of stuff in our office, and we've worked with federal intelligence authorities. We've redoubled our efforts with our local partners at the county and city level. We've had what's called penetration testing done on our office, which is a fancy phrase for someone who comes in and tries to hack you to find the vulnerabilities so you can patch them and fix them. So we've done all of that. So we feel that we're in good shape and that we have sufficiently minimized the risk. You can never get rid of the risk 100%. Nobody can. But we think we've minimized them, and we feel good about where we are.
There is an element about Minnesota which we all should feel good about, and that is this, is that we, at the end of the day, we do have a paper ballot. And, you know, exactly. As one person alluded to, a scanner, the reality is that paper ballot still exists. It's not like it's a shredding machine, for goodness sakes. It's still there. And at the end of the day, if we want to, if there's an integrity issue, we can pull all the ballots together and just start manually counting them and find out what the real answer is.
100% right. Minnesota is proudly old school. Mm-hmm. We are a pen and paper state. I went in and voted in person today. It was a piece of paper and a Bic pen, probably from Target or Walgreens. So that's how we vote here. And yes, it's true that that piece of paper is fed into a machine, a ballot counting machine. But under state law, that machine cannot, shall not, must not be connected to the internet. And we have all sorts of back-end checks. We have post-election audits. We have post-election reviews. We keep the ballots, as you said, for almost 2 years under federal law. We have to keep them. So if anyone has a suspicion or a hunch or a problem, people can touch and feel and see the actual physical ballots. Unlike those dozen or more states, some of them battleground states, by the way, that are either completely or partially touchscreen voting machines with no receipt and no paper trail. That would really give me pause. I mean, we expect better from our ATM machines. At least there you get a receipt. There are states in this country, Pennsylvania, Louisiana,
Georgia,
others where they use that equipment. We don't. We are a paper-based state. I think we're always going to be a paper-based state. There is a just rock-solid bipartisan consensus on that at the legislature. I don't see that ever changing, and good. It shouldn't.
Well, and you know what? As we hear, of course, there's a tendency, of course, this show being labeled one side of the aisle, per se. I know. Hard to believe. But I will say this, is that I don't get the impression that there's many people in the GOP of Minnesota that are too happy or tickled by the idea of the Russians in getting involved in a Minnesota state election. And at the end of the day, they want, you know, win or lose, they want to have the integrity of the system in place, not, you know, the question of, you know, did you know, Russia or China or Italy or Luxembourg, did someone get involved in our election that should not have been there? And I think having these checks and balances in place and the final check and balance, the paper ballots, really is a great savior to the system, and it's a sign that the system works.
Yes. You know, we have our partisan battles from time to time on these issues. This is not one of them. I can tell you that the people that I'm dealing with in Minnesota legislature, some of the most steadfast allies on this issue of cybersecurity, of making sure no foreign actor or any actor, it could be the guy next door, gets in the system. They've been from both parties, Republicans and Democrats. This is something we really all agree on, which is great.
I cannot tell you how much I appreciate the time today. This is having you in studio on an election day is just an absolute treat. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it and appreciate the information. Once again, what's the website for people to go to?
I thought you'd never ask. MNVotes.org. MNVotes. .org. If you want to know who's on the ballot in your area, where to go to vote, any other questions, you can find them there.
MNVotes.org. Secretary of State Steve Simon, kind enough to be in studio. Steve, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.